Hello, everybody, and welcome to VOW Live here on Monday, Leap Day, February 29th, 2016. Rob McCarron here. You can find me on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. You can find Voices of Wrestling on Twitter at Voices Wrestling. And with me on the line right off the bat here is Joe Lanza at Joe M. Lanza on the Twitter if you want to get his thoughts on the world and the Cincinnati Reds as we head into the Major League Baseball season. Joe, how are you?
How are you, Robert?
I'm doing fantastic. I just watched about 15 minutes of what was a 3 hour and 15 minute WWE Raw, so I feel actually pretty energized.
That'll do it for you.
Yeah, watching select bits, and I can't even say they were select bits because I just kind of turned it on at certain points, and I got the entire Brie Bella and Naomi match and a little bit of Stephanie McMahon ranting, so I may not have selected the best parts, but I will watch the full episode tomorrow. The Joe Lanza on VOW Live segment is brought to you by the Voices of Wrestling Amazon affiliate link. Joe, voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. You know, the people can go there, shop on Amazon like normal, no extra cost, and a little bit helps the website, voicesofwrestling.com. I use the link. Joe, do you use the link?
I use the link frequently, Robert.
Religiously. We got to get into a topic here right off the bat. And I want to thank everyone for joining us on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube. Please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, the little thumbs up icon here, and that will certainly help us out. If you are having any issues with the stream, let us know in the chat room here on the YouTube page, and we'll try to correct any issues you have. The first topic tonight, Joe, at CWF Mid-Atlantic over the weekend, Trevor Lee and Roy Wilkins wrestled a match that lasted a reported 105 minutes. Upon hearing this, you tweeted from the At Voices Wrestling account the following: 1 hour and 45 minute match, there is no chance it's good. Like sex, when it comes to wrestling, anything over 20 minutes is just showing off. And this sent a small portion of the wrestling Twitter ablaze. Joe, I wanted to have you on to explain the comment, and were you surprised by some of the reaction to it?
I am never surprised by literal Twitter. You know, literal Twitter, the segment of Twitter that you know, where jokes go over their head, sarcasm goes over their head. And Rob, I don't know what I was more I don't know what was more of a head slapper for me. The responses that I was getting that were along the lines of people sending me great matches over the course of history that went longer than 20 minutes, mm-hmm. which again, wasn't the point of the tweet, or the people who were sending me the responses that were saying, you know, oh my God, you suck at sex.
Uh-huh, yep.
It's like, either way you look at it, these people are just completely lost, completely missing the point of the stupid joke tweet. But yeah, I mean, look.
Well, you were also, just before your explanation, you were also getting comments about how you were critiquing a match before you had even seen it. So there's a few different things there too. And I want you, when you go into your explanation, how do you feel about that criticism? Because people are out there mocking, you know, saying, oh, I feel bad for him in bed and so forth. But really the critiquing before a match is seen issue is what really caught me. But go ahead.
Yeah, the thing about it is, I do not like long matches. My stance on long matches, when I say long matches, 60 minute plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think I've never seen a 60 minute match or a 60 minute plus singles match now. When you factor in multiple men, tag teams, elimination matches, rumbles, battle royals, all bets are off. The rules are different.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking singles matches.
Sure.
Look, for years and years and years on the Voices of Wrestling podcast, for years and years and years on the Twitter account, my stance has been very clear. I do not like 60-minute matches. I think they're loaded with stalling almost every time. I think the sweet spot for a professional wrestling match to tell a compelling professional wrestling story is about 25 minutes. Okay? You can go a little longer. Now, that's not to say that you can't go longer than that and still have a tremendous match. You can. I just think it starts to get appreciably harder after that point to tell a compelling pro wrestling story. And look, once you start getting around 40 minutes, now the odds are very much stacked against you. You're starting to delve into. But again, it's not like you can't have a great 40-minute match. 60 minutes, though. I mean, Rob, let's look at some of the more famous 60-minute matches in history.
Okay, sure.
You've got Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Right?
Yeah.
This was a match that for years has been, people have said, is severely overrated to the point where it's not overrated anymore because everyone pretty much concedes that it wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Samoa Joe CM Punk match from Ring of Honor, which in my opinion is one of the most overrated matches of all time.
Two of them, in fact.
Technically nothing wrong, but very boring. Lots of stalling. You have the Bryan Danielson Samoa Joe match from Edison, New Jersey in Ring of Honor, which I was at live. And within the first 5 to 10 minutes of that match, everybody in the building knew they were going 60 based on the pacing and the way they worked the first 10 minutes of the match.
And it's funny, that came at the time with Ring of Honor where people thought every Bryan Danielson match was going to go about an hour. People were expecting it around that time. I remember being one of them, like, oh, is tonight the night that Daniel Bryan goes 60? Yeah, probably.
Right. And once they tipped off that they were going the full 60, that completely lost my interest. What is my motivation to pay attention for the next 45 minutes when I know you're going all the way?
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to hook me again until the final 5 to 10 minutes. And then at that point, it's only to see if they actually give you a finish, mm-hmm. as opposed to the worst finish in all of wrestling, the 60-minute draw, which I cannot stand. Go back and watch those old 1970s NWA titles. If you don't do it when you're tired, mm-hmm. but go watch those old Dory Funk Jr. 60-minute draws, Briscoe. It's terrible. Matches are extremely boring. And modern 60-minute draws are just loaded with stalling because, look, you know, God bless these wrestlers. I know they want to go out there. I know. Here's the thing with the long match, Rob. I think it means more to these wrestlers to go out there just to prove that they can do it. I think it means a lot to them, and that's great. But as a viewer and as a fan, it's always tons of stalling, and they always tip off that they're going all the way. And look, this 104-minute match, it might very well be an excellent match. I have no idea. From what I'm told, there were a lot of story elements in it with Trevor Lee, and there were lots of run-ins and ref bumps, and the live crowd loved it. God bless them. I cannot sit through a 104-minute match because the last thing I want to do is sit through that match, and at the end of it, you know, look at my watch and say, I just wasted the last hour and a half of my life when I could have been watching wrestling that I know I'm going to enjoy. I come in with bias when I see a 60-minute match because I've never seen one that I've loved.
Yeah, I remember when Gabe kind of got in that run of giving Bryan Danielson a ton of long matches and he goes an hour with Samoa Joe. There was the one match in Chicago, I believe it was, with Roderick Strong. And I was there, where we all thought Roderick Strong and Bryan Danielson was going to go an hour. I'm pretty sure it was one of the nights at WrestleMania 22 that was taking place in Chicago. And then out of nowhere in the 57th minute or so, Daniel Bryan finally gets the win over Roderick Strong. So it was one of those where he realized that people were expecting a really long match to go an hour, and he gives you the win a few minutes short of that, so it saves the surprise a little bit. But you're right. I mean, it kind of cooled the crowd down a little bit because we knew it was going long. Even if it doesn't go an hour, it's going, you know, really long, and we don't have to pay attention to the first 20 minutes or so. So it does put more work in front of the guys to try and keep your attention, to try and do things differently than just a couple of chin locks. Now, on the other side of that, I was live for an IWA show where CM Punk and Delirious, it was CM Punk and Delirious. It might have been CM Punk and Matt Sydal. Pretty sure it was CM Punk and Delirious on one of CM Punk's last nights in IWA Mid-South, where they went an hour-long draw too. But it was a complete joke of a match. Really, it was just a match where they wrestled for a little bit, and then Daisy Hayes and Matt Sydal got involved in a couple of spots just to kind of fill time a little bit. So they kind of played up where, yeah, it's going an hour, but really it's a variety show. This isn't a wrestling match that goes an hour. It's a variety show. So in that aspect, it was kind of fun because we never got bored because they weren't trying to convince you that they were going an hour-long grueling match or anything. The issue I found most about a lot of the negativity, a lot of the criticism that was coming your way was the critiquing the match before you even saw it. When all you were saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you've kind of stated it a little bit here, all you were saying was, I know this match is an hour and five going in. It's probably not going to be good to me because I don't particularly in the past enjoy long matches. And if you're watching this not being there live, I can understand the difference between being there live and being, you know, watching it on tape. And this match is going to come out on YouTube on March 9th. When you go on tape and watch this and know it's an hour and 5 minutes, there's no suspense for almost an hour and a half.
Yeah, look, that's the thing. Look, I know I don't like 60-minute matches, so why on earth would I think that I'm going to like a 104-minute match? And I don't think there's anything out of line in saying that I don't think I'm going to like this match.
Right.
I mean, and anyone who argues against that, well, you better not ever say this match looks great on paper or wow, this show looks terrible on paper, because you're doing the same thing. You're, mm-hmm. That's what wrestling fans do. We look at a match, we look at a show, we look at a card, we look at a lineup, and we say, wow, that looks good, or boy, that looks like shit. I'm not buying a ticket to that, or I'm not purchasing that iPay-per-view, or I'm not watching Raw next week if that's what we do. I mean, so, again, those critiques, they can get lost too. That just didn't make any sense to me. That's not to say that if I sat down and watched the match that, I wouldn't be eating crow at the end of it. Look,
sure.
Rob, have you ever said to yourself, that looks like it's going to be a terrible show, and then it turns out to be a great show, and then you're happy because you sat down and watched this show that you thought was going to be terrible, and you end up liking it? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, or on the reverse, if you go in thinking for example, a Tommy and Chris Hero match will be really good on paper, and that, if even after the fact, say a PWG show happens and you're talking about a Marty Scurll Chris Hero match, oh, I bet that was great. You're doing the same thing in reverse. You're saying, I bet I will like that match, instead of I bet I will dislike that match. All you were doing is basing it on your previous experience and the fact that that's not your preference. You weren't bashing the match, as some people have been saying. You weren't critiquing the match itself. You were just stating your preference, right?
I absolutely was not bashing the match. I was saying I'm probably not going to like this match. I mean, every time I see a 60-minute draw pop up in results, I think to myself, I'm probably not going to like that match. In fact, I'm probably not going to bother watching it. If you remember a couple years ago, 2 years ago at the Dome, there was some chatter that Okada and Tanahashi were going to go 60 minutes, mm-hmm. especially based on the pacing of that Wrestle Kingdom show.
Yeah.
If you recall, that was the Jeff Jarrett pay-per-view promoted show, and the first half of the show flew by. So the theory that night, if you were watching live, was, wow, maybe the main event's going 60. I've got tweets on record saying, terrified that they were going 60. The last thing I wanted was that match that I was looking forward to go to a 60-minute draw. It would have been the worst thing, so listen, I've got loads of history, whether it be audio, Twitter, written word. Joe Lanza doesn't like 60-minute matches. What do you want from me? We all have our preferences. I don't really see what the big deal is here.
We all have our preferences. Very, very rarely will I like a 3-minute match. It's time. It's time. Now, the question is, will you, when this match comes out on YouTube, will you set aside 2 hours to watch Trevor Lee versus Roy Wilkins?
There's not a chance I'm setting aside 2 hours to watch Trevor Lee versus Roy Wilkins. Look, the people that were there live say it's very story heavy. Yeah. Give it a chance. Here's the thing. Here's what I'll do. I'll go on record with this, Rob.
Okay.
If it gets rave reviews mm-hmm. from people I trust, I will sit down and watch it. But I there's no way I'm going into that match cold. I can't do it.
There are certain matches, and again, this is just based on people who were there, and I haven't seen the match, and I'm not critiquing the match itself, but in history, there have been a lot of instances where matches have gotten rave reviews from those who were there, but they didn't translate well to tape. There are certain matches, especially storyline-heavy matches, where it really involves investment in the characters and what's going on, and the surprise and the different suspenseful aspects of the wrestling match that you got to be there live for, at least be watching it live, I'm sure we would rate several matches differently on WWE, on New Japan, if all we did was watch via tape delay, every main event in history. We probably wouldn't have the exact same views on every single match had we been watching them all live. It's just what happens, especially in storyline heavy matches. But if it gets rave reviews, you will go back and watch it. Maybe
if it gets rave reviews from people I trust, because when it comes to wrestling reviews, and star ratings and things like that, you got to know your reviewer, And so if it gets reviews from people who I know have similar taste to me and taste as me and they think it's a great match, I'll begrudgingly set aside an hour, 104 minutes to watch. I just think that's really long to sit there. Look, I have the attention span of a gnat. Okay. So there's no doubt I will be tempted to fuck around with my phone or switch the windows on my computer. It's going to be very hard for me to sit still for 104 minutes for a match that I have no emotional investment in either. Let's face it. It's not like I'm sitting there. It's not like I'm, following CWF Mid-Atlantic on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if it's a storyline heavy match, I mean, that'll help in some respects, but it'll hurt in others because I don't know what's going on and I have no investment in whatever this feud is.
So for those of you who are going to watch the CWF Mid-Atlantic Trevor Lee versus Roy Wilkins match that goes an hour and 45 minutes, after you watch this, I want you to tweet at Voices Wrestling with the hashtag CWFMOTY, CWF Match of the Year. Let's get Joe Lanza to have to go watch this for the big Match of the Year project. That is my challenge to wrestling Twitter that over the weekend seemed like it was not too keen on the words at the Voices of Wrestling account. What else is on your mind, Joe? Before we let you go, because we're almost at our 20-minute time limit, the New Japan Cup begins Thursday. Predictions on who wins the New Japan Cup this year?
I never give New Japan Cup predictions because I'm awful at it. If I have to give a prediction, if you're putting a gun to my head, I think they go chalk with Tanahashi, and then he challenges Omega. But that obviously, that's not going to, if I'm saying that's going to happen, there's no chance it's going to happen because I am terrible at New Japan Cup predictions. And of course, you know, a lot of people are saying if Tanahashi wins and challenges Omega, well, then where does that leave Okada? Because they have not set up a challenger for Okada. So,
honestly, where does it leave Omega and Tanahashi? Because is Omega going to beat Tanahashi two times in a row?
Well, I don't even want to cross that bridge until we get to it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see if they give us that match immediately first. But when you look at this, I mean, if they're going the route to give Okada a challenger, there's really nobody there either because they're not going to do the Tanahashi match again. And, you know, you would have to look at Naito. Now, me personally, I would not do the Naito match this soon. I also would not do the Naito match in Tokyo. I would do the Naito match in Osaka, and I would have Naito win that match. I would not do the match this soon. I wouldn't do it in Tokyo. I do think if you headline, well, not headline, but if you put Tanahashi Omega on the Sumo Hall card, Invasion Attack, I think that you can then give Okada a bit of a softer opponent, whether it's, you know, let's say it's Yuji Nagata, since that there's been a lot of speculation about Nagata. I think you can get away with Yuji Nagata versus Okada as the quote-unquote main event, and then do Tanahashi Omega underneath as really what is the drawing match, because you've got Tanahashi there, and you have Omega, who's not only a proven draw in Tokyo, he's been a proven draw, but he's been a proven draw in that building as well for DDT in Sumo Hall. I think that's a good spot where you can do that match as the true drawing match, and then give Okada a bit of a softer opponent in the main event.
I am similar to the belief of those who are calling for a Yuji Nagata win, that I think they're going to go with someone a little bit past their prime. Just looking at the draws here, and I'm terrible at predictions too. Like I'm 50-50 on voting for Shibata to win this year's New Japan Cup. He's not even in it. Satoshi Kojima, just looking at the draw, it's very reasonable that Satoshi Kojima could possibly go on and win this thing and challenge Okada, and then you have something else for Omega to do. For all I know, at Invasion Attack, Omega could defend the six-man titles, like not even have an Intercontinental Championship match on that show.
I would say that's true, except that because it's Invasion Attack and it's one of the bigger shows, I think they're going to stack it and they're going to load it.
Yeah, I don't think it's likely that he would not defend that singles championship. I'm just saying it's possible because it would also a little bit kind of hamper the run with the Intercontinental title of Kenny Omega if he beats Tanahashi and then all of a sudden he's defending the six-man titles, which have been not necessarily a joke, but not necessarily important either at the same time. There's a lot of possibilities. I mean, last year's winner is not in this one. AJ Styles is no longer in this. Shinsuke Nakamura is gone. Shibata is the never champion, so he's not in it. It's wide open to me. I could make a case for almost anyone in this tournament winning, except for maybe Yujiro or Toru Yano, but anyone else, Hanma's probably not getting past that first one.
There's a bunch of guys. Yeah, like Yoshihashi can't win. Evil's not going to win.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but we just named almost everyone on Kojima's side of the bracket. Like, if Kojima doesn't make the finals, I'll be stunned, honestly.
And Kojima will have a good match in the finals if he does get there. And he would have a great match against Okada.
It could be Nagata, too. We could very well see a Nagata and Kojima finals, and that kind of sets apart for what we saw, the whole angle we saw with the tag team match, the promo at the end with Nagata and Kojima. That could have been setting up a final, possibly, in this New Japan Cup.
It could have been. That promo could have meant something. It also could have meant absolutely nothing. It could have just been Nagata going into business for himself and firing up the crowd. Who knows? But yeah, look, if I'm booking this thing, I that's the route I go. I go with Yuji Nagata or Satoshi Kojima against Okada because I really believe you can get away with it at this show.
Yeah.
With Omega's drawing. Now, look, Omega hasn't proven to be a draw anywhere outside of Tokyo with DDT. It was always in Tokyo, and particularly he has drawn in Sumo All. So I think you can do Omega Tanahashi, and I think that that can carry this show, and you don't have to rely on a big-time defense from Okada. So we'll see.
Joe Lanza, you released the first episode of Lanza Unfiltered. Any plug necessarily you want to give to the people who have not checked out yet your solo debut as a regular podcast?
I think you just did, my friend. At Lanza Unfiltered on the Twitter, search Lanza Unfiltered at Audio Boom. Episode one is up. Getting rave reviews, by the way. Rave reviews across the board.
Rave reviews. It is exploding on the internet. It is giving new theories to making a murderer that people haven't even thought about before.
Yeah, the great Aaron Bentley, who is the Lanza Unfiltered legal expert, joined us on the first episode. He'll be back to discuss some other topics.
Yeah,
he's getting rave reviews as well for his appearance. He is a ambulance chasing lawyer, so he knows of what he speaks. This man is a shoot lawyer, and he did a tremendous job. The show is getting rave reviews, and it has absolutely blown away my expectations in terms of how many people have listened to it so far. As you know, we'll keep those numbers private, but I had it's blown away the number I gave you, Rob. Let's just put it that way, that I thought the show would do. So it's been very well received. I'm very humbled by all of this. Or is it flattered, Rob? I was corrected by on that by someone at one point. But
can it not be both?
I'm both humbled and flattered at the response.
Yeah, you can be humbled and flattered. Whoever's telling you that you can't be both, you know what? Tell them, yeah, I can do whatever I want.
And you can expect these every other Friday. You can subscribe through the Voices of Wrestling podcast feed, or you can subscribe independently. If you go to Audio Boom, search Lanza Unfiltered, you can subscribe specifically to the Lanza Unfiltered feed as well.
Final thought from Twan Mack. He wants to ask you a question, and we'll hang up on you after this. Did Joe Lanza like the Okada Moose match from the 14th anniversary ROH show?
Didn't see it. Have not seen the show yet. Cannot give an opinion.
Go ahead and listen to the Voices of Wrestling podcast this week to get Joe Lanza's thoughts on Moose versus Okada and the ROH 14th anniversary. We are here on VOW Live. I want to thank again everyone who is live listening and watching on the YouTube page. Hit the thumbs up button, like the video, and chat with us in the chat room. The lines are now open, 260-494-3811, or on Skype. It is Let's Say Things, all one word, LetsSayThings. You can talk with us, talk with me, give your opinions on anything in the world. We have a couple of topics there. The New Japan Cup, ROH 14, anything related to WWE, whatever you want to discuss, whatever in your heart's content that you want to talk about here, get your thoughts on the air, ask me a question, whatever you want to do. Literally, the lines are open for you to do whatever you want here on VOW Live on Leap Day. The next Monday, I think, on Leap Day is going to be in like 2044, so who knows if we're doing it by then. In a lot of ways, I hope not, but we shall see. We talked a little bit about the New Japan Cup. The show starts on March 3rd. The tournament starts on March 3rd. The first night, all the first-round matches will take place. It's about a week-long tour. We got a lot of different things going on, but it looks like we may have a caller on the line. So we are going to go to the phone lines again here on VOW Live. Again, that's 260-494-3811. If you don't get on right away, keep trying and we'll try to get you on. It is Isaac on the Skype line. Isaac, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you? I can tell you're good. You look very sophisticated tonight.
Yeah, it's been a trying day at the office. Haven't had a whole lot of time to change. So I'm wearing the good clothes tonight. I'm wearing the red panties too. I'm very excited. Conor McGregor's making me rich. You know, it's what I'm doing here. Isaac, are you dressed up for the occasion here on VOW Live?
I'm going to shoot and say I'm in my camo underwear. I just got home from work and it was rainy.
So you haven't taken off the camo underwear yet. You're in your work clothes right now.
No. I have people that live at my home. My grandma's here. She's 77 years old.
Well, congratulations to her.
Yeah.
That's a good amount of time on this earth. Yeah. Isaac, I don't know if you were listening when Joe Lanza was on. He had some thoughts about the New Japan Cup. Do you have any thoughts about the New Japan Cup?
Yes, I agree with you. Kojima, he's block. Like, he's
it's
got
easy.
He's getting to the finals.
It's easy. The block. These are the old show notes, and you can't see this probably due to the lighting and whatnot. But I have the blocks here written out, and I'm just looking at Kojima. I was foolishly, without looking very closely, saying, "Oh, anyone could win this thing." And in a way, it's the New Japan Cup. Not even knowing the names in the brackets, you can say anyone has a chance to win because you don't know going in. But I'm looking at the right side now, and you look at it more closely. Like Honma's not winning. Yano's not winning. Takahashi's not winning. Ishii is the only one on that side who could possibly win, in my opinion. Although Naito has the pedigree and the capability, I just don't see Naito coming away with the New Japan Cup at this moment. I think he's more of a long play for January. But yeah, Kojima at least is coming out of that side.
New Japan's funky at the moment, Rob. Like,
it's funky.
Loss, justice. I feel like that's teasing like Nagata and Naito. But I also think Nagata has a good chance at winning this. I just think they have to get new talent in. Because
isn't that crazy? Isaac, isn't that crazy? We talk about Nagata and Kojima, and we're going into this New Japan Cup with the suspense being, okay, which of the old timers are going to win?
Exactly. Tama Tonga is usually a full guy. Like, he's getting a push now. This is why I don't like how New Japan run things, because they always have a designated fall guy that loses like on every show of every tour. And so now that they've lost talent and they need to push other guys, the crowd's just going to be like, oh, but so he's winning now. He just lost. And then they'll get pushed straight away. I'd be confused if I was a Japanese wrestling New Japan fan.
You talk about Tama Tonga too, and you know Tama Tonga has made the challenge for the tag team titles, bringing in a new member of the Bullet Club. Tama Tonga could very easily beat Togi Makabe in the first match, get it on with Nagata, and that could be, you know, all these things fall into place to where Nagata very well could make the finals because he's beating, instead of having to face Makabe, he's facing Tama Tonga, who just probably got the life beaten out of him and escaped with a victory somehow against Makabe. You know, Michael Elgin in the tournament, Tenzan in the tournament, Bad Luck Fale. Do you buy into the theory that Bad Luck Fale and Tanahashi were paired up in the first round so Tanahashi could lose?
No, I think they're paired up because that's Bad Luck Fale is one of his only opponents he can have a good match with.
Yeah.
Bad Luck Fale has great matches with Tanahashi and Okada. Everyone else, it's like watching paint dry.
Yeah. Now, I kind of shoehorned in the New Japan talk here, not really knowing what you were calling. Let me open the floor to you. Let me be hospitable here to my guests. Isaac, right. What did you call in for?
I've actually got something to propose to you, Rob.
Oh, God.
It's nothing bad.
Oh, God.
At all.
Oh, God.
No. Breathe. It's all right.
Okay.
It's okay, man. So, you know I'm a big fan of weird Japanese wrestling, right? Like,
sure.
Yeah. I want to invite you to watch some crazy, crazy, crazy Japanese wrestling. I know you're not. This is like promotions you've never heard of. I know you're a busy man. You work. You do crazy stuff for voices.
I'm a busy man in demand in a many, many place. So yes, it's very tough for me to make time for the weird, offbeat, obscure Japanese wrestling, but try me. What is this homework you're trying to give me?
I am trying to send you 3 to 4 matches, and then after you watch them, I want you to appear on a podcast with me, and we can go over the matches. I just watched a show last night that was in front of 100 people at a gym in Japan. It's called Pro Wrestling Heat Up.
Oh, of course, yeah, we go way back.
I watched a match called from Pro Wrestling Kageki. There was probably a family of 11 in attendance.
Okay, yeah. I've been one of 11 in attendance before at wrestling shows, yep.
Didn't you promote a show that drew 11 people?
I was one of those 11.
Yes.
Promoter.
I'm a long-time listener.
Like WWE, you count everyone in the building. You don't just count those who paid to enter the building. You count everyone. So I included myself. And I guess I should count all of the wrestlers in the building too. But yes, I've been in a number of crowds that have been small. In the Indiana area, we'll just say that. So, yes, so we got Pro Wrestling Heat Up, big old PW Who. I know them well. Pro yep. Wrestling Hideki Matsui, got that one, yep.
Hideki Matsui?
Go on.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, well, now who's the one who doesn't know their Japanese history?
I don't know. Who's Hideki Matsui?
Oh, don't know. Oh, okay. Go on.
And I'll give you a Yuji Hino match. I'll give you a Yuji Hino match.
Yuji Hino sure. is who?
Sorry?
No, go on. Okay, you're going to give me matches. So hit me up on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes with these matches that you want to give me, and I'll see if I can make the time. Exactly how much am I going to be paid? Because my time is very valuable.
You're going to be paid in cyber hugs.
Oh, yeah. That's illegal. That's illegal in many. I believe there's a show on NBC called SVU about that.
I don't know any of what you just said.
That's
I'm
good.
Australian.
I know you're in Australia. Well, that's very good. What is your what's the TV station in Australia? What's the big network? What do you have as far as TV goes?
We've got the big channel is Channel 9,
okay.
Channel 10, and Channel 7.
Do these channels show? Names. Do they show any American, you know, United States television over there, or is it? Do you have your own local thing?
Two and a Half Men. Pretty big.
Okay.
That was used to be really big.
Okay.
Big Bang Theory is pretty big. They show everything. Like, I guess it's.
But
we've
not,
got a thing called. Oh, go on. Sorry.
They don't show Law and Order Special Victims
oh, yeah,
Unit.
Yeah. They yeah. show everything.
There you go.
The old. They've got everything. I want to see. I've heard some rumblings about Making a Murderer. I don't know what that is.
Well, if you don't know what Making a Murderer is, boy, do I have the podcast for you. It's Lanza Unfiltered, at Lanza Unfiltered, the very first episode, a good hour and a half long discussion about Making a Murderer. It'll give you all the bits of information you need to know. What is going okay. on in that background, Isaac?
I have some tilers here. We're doing renovations. Because
it's like 3 in the afternoon there, right?
Correct.
Is it really? Is it almost yeah. coming up on 3?
10 to 3.
Wow. Look at me. Look at me knowing my time zones.
My God.
I you don't know this about me, guys. You don't know this about me. I'm brilliant. I'm brilliant.
How old are you, Rob?
I'm 30.
Yep.
I am just hitting the prime of life.
You are.
Sure.
You know I'm half your age. I'm 16.
Well, I can't be Skyping with you now because now we're just getting into weird territory where you're giving me cyber hugs and you're in Australia. This is just weird. This is weird now. This is weird. Trying to get
and
me to watch
weird. I
want to
send you videos of half-naked men fighting each other.
All right, Isaac. Thank you for calling into the show. That was a very weird segment with Isaac on the Skype line. 260-494-3811. The lines are open. Talk anything you want. You can talk about WWE tonight because guess what happened? Roman Reigns was off television, so it was Dean Ambrose's turn to get beat up by Triple H. So for all those calling Triple H the biggest babyface in the company last week, well, guess what? He gets booed. He just has to get booed against a babyface that the fans care about, to paraphrase a line earlier from our opening segment guest, Joe Lanza. Interesting on the show, they also set up Triple H offering a championship match to Dean Ambrose, and it is likely that championship match is going to take place at WWE Toronto, a live network special coming up in just a couple of weeks. March to WrestleMania from Toronto, a WWE network special. Triple H was advertised on the WWE website as defending the championship on that show, an article that was taken down shortly after being posted, which will likely go right back up now as Triple H has made it official. He's going to give Dean Ambrose a championship match. Probably won't be on Raw. Won't be on SmackDown. It'll be on the WWE Network special, which is an interesting dynamic because the match that most people probably wanted to see, and maybe not most people, but if you're listening to this show, a majority of you listening to this show are probably in the camp that you would rather see Triple H versus Dean Ambrose than Triple H versus Roman Reigns. And now they're going to give you Dean Ambrose on the WWE Network for your $9.99. And then a couple of weeks later, expect you to watch Roman Reigns versus Triple H at WrestleMania, and you know you will. You know you are going to watch that match, even if it's not your favorite match. You know you're going to watch it. But they're going to give you the Dean Ambrose match as a precursor to Roman Reigns getting the championship at WWE Toronto, the March to WrestleMania special. So you have that to look forward to. We will talk more WWE topics tomorrow. If you subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling iTunes feed, the Voices of Wrestling podcast feed, or if you subscribe exclusively to Shake Them Ropes in your podcast feeds, Jeff and I will be back with Shake Them Ropes all new Tuesday, tomorrow, if you're watching live, with all WWE and NXT talk. So we will go over Dean Ambrose and Triple H, all the news coming out of Raw, and so much more. The phone lines are open if you have interest in getting a comment or thought here on the show. We will talk anything. ROH 14th anniversary happened over the weekend too, and then TV tapings on Saturday. Basically, no titles really changed. Jay Lethal is still your Ring of Honor champion. The TV title, the television title, still holds Tomohiro Ishii as its champion. So Ishii winning at Honor Rising from Roderick Strong, defending successfully against Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong. He holds the ROH TV title. Maybe he goes and defends it on one of these New Japan Cup shows. Maybe he defends it at Invasion Attack. And if he still has the title at Invasion Attack, it kind of gets him out of the running for New Japan Cup, further opening a hole for Kojima to win this match. And if Ishii's out because he's going to defend the TV title, boom, there you go. Kojima. Could Ishii hold it all the way until ROH Global Wars, the pay-per-view coming up in May for ROH? Could he do that? I think it's a very good possibility. We have a caller on the Skype line now. It is Nathan. Nathan, how are you tonight?
Good, Rob. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I am glad you had called in, so it gives me a chance to get my liquid break via Pepsi, Pepsi Cola, drink it, love it, and then die from it. Go ahead, Nathan.
Great choice. So I was going to ask you, about Roman Reigns. I mean, he wasn't on the show tonight.
No, he wasn't.
We saw the lineup.
Nathan, you there?
Sorry about that. Yep.
Yep.
Sorry about that. So he wasn't on the show tonight.
Nope.
And there's possible rumors that he will not be on the show the next few weeks, which is really weird. But with the circuit of towns that they're making for these Raws, do you think that that was done on purpose to keep him off these shows so that he doesn't get booed out of the building? Because either way, to me, no matter where they're at, they're going to boo him.
Yeah, well, certain places they're going to boo him against Triple H, and Chicago and Brooklyn being, you know, a couple of those places. It's probably a mix of that as far as the timetable to not rush him back. But Roman Reigns had a legit injury. This was, I mean, the beatdown on Raw last week was to cover for a legitimate injury that he has been working over for the last week. And they just figured, you know, let's fix it now. Especially if we make you champion at WrestleMania, we don't want you to take time off after the fact. So let's fix it now. It's a perfect time because we can keep you off a couple of weeks of TV. We can get Triple H some heat by beating up Dean Ambrose for a week or two. And I don't see Roman Reigns back next week, because if this match is going to happen on March 12th, which I believe is the date that we're looking at as far as when the Triple H match will happen, March 11th or March 12th.
Correct. Well, I think it coincides with the network special that's
It's the network special in Toronto, yeah, which I believe is March 12th. I'm pretty sure it's Saturday, March 12th. But if you're going to do that, then why rush Roman Reigns back until the Raw on the 14th? You know, let Dean Ambrose have the angle with Triple H, because that way, you know, you don't have Brock Lesnar on TV. So Dean Ambrose for 2 weeks can, you know, feud with Triple H effectively. They're effectively setting up a pay-per-view match in 2 weeks with Dean Ambrose and Triple H as its main event. And then the Raw after that on March 14th, there you have, you know, Roman Reigns coming back, and you have Roman Reigns, Triple H, and then you have Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. So you don't have to rush him back. You get the injury taken care of, and then you bring back Roman, who can just go for all time as the best wrestler to ever grace the ring in WWE.
That is a good point. I didn't really think about it, but it's like, still, it's like, okay, if they bring Roman Reigns back 3 weeks before Mania, does the booing continue, or are they going to are these crowds going to kind of turn and start taking a liking to him? It'll be really interesting to see. That's kind of what I've been waiting for, and to see if they'll change, because right now it's kind of anywhere he goes, they don't like him.
And we've been waiting a while. We've been waiting for a while, because your hope is, and WWE's hope is, that you get Dean Ambrose, who's this mega baby face right now, relatively speaking. You get Dean Ambrose to go against Triple H. It turns the crowd on Triple H. You know, we don't like this guy. We want someone to take the title. Oh, Dean failed. Well, who's going to take the title off of him? Oh, it's Roman Reigns. Let's hopefully cheer this guy and want him to defeat Triple H. That's your hope. But they've used Dean Ambrose in this way for so long as the guy in place of Roman Reigns to turn heels. And then we bring Roman in for the save, and the crowd stops caring after Dean is gone. So your hope is Dean gets the crowd to turn on Triple H, and then Roman comes in and we cheer this guy. I don't think it'll work, because it hasn't worked the last couple of times they've done it.
Or the only other option would be to turn Dean Ambrose heel on Roman Reigns and hope that works. But I don't know if it would, because when Seth Rollins turned heel back in 2014, Rollins beat up Reigns. So I don't think Reigns taking another beating from Ambrose, who would turn heel, would necessarily be a good idea.
Yeah, no, I know what they're trying to do here, and it makes sense. You get the injury taken care of. You put Dean Ambrose in a situation. On that WWE Network special, for all we know, Brock Lesnar could be the one to cost Dean Ambrose. And Roman Reigns may be there to help Dean Ambrose fight off Brock Lesnar. I would not be shocked one bit if it turns into some type of tag team match, even, you know, because it's a house show.
I could see that happening, too.
It's a house show that's going to be on the network. So, you know, what are you going to do if you really change the match? Who cares? I don't know if you would pin him or you get a double DQ, because I don't see anyone losing on that show. I don't see Dean Ambrose getting beat clean by Triple H, because you're going to put Brock Lesnar against Dean Ambrose after Dean Ambrose just gets beaten clean.
Especially in a house show environment where the faces usually tend to go over.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember any house shows that I've been to, at least, where the heels go over, because it doesn't make sense, because the idea of a house show is to make the crowd happy. And even if it is televised, it's people will make the argument that, oh, it's not a house show because it's televised. Well, yes, it is. It's a televised house show.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if the cameras were there or not. They're still going to do what they were going to do, regardless of the camera being there or not.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of these shows where they're not going to spend a lot of time on it. AJ Styles is on that show, so they'll probably give you a good AJ Styles match. I would think probably against The Miz, really, just looking at the talent that's on that show. There's also a WWE show in Atlantic City that night, headlined by Kevin Owens and Big Show. So you're not going to have the full roster of talent. It's going to be half
that
of the...
That sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what they've been doing on the B-level main events, with John Cena out, with Roman Reigns out. Your house shows are being headlined by Kevin Owens and The Big Show, and some of them by the Wyatts versus Kane, Ryback, and The Big Show. I mean, if you're tired of seeing that match on Raw, imagine going to a WWE live event, and that is your main event. You're waiting 2 hours to see Ryback, Kane, and The Big Show against the Wyatt family.
That's the gamble of going to a house show, because at least with Raw, you really don't know what's going to happen. But going to a house show, it's even worse, because you really have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, I used to love going to the WWE house shows because of the main events, because of the big talents that were there. Now, if I go to a house show, and I don't go to many, I've skipped some that have come right here in Fort Wayne.
I've gone to three.
Yeah, if I go to a house show, I'm not really going there to see who's in the main event. I'm looking for a 12-minute match from the guys like Tyler Breeze. If I was going to a house show now, I'd want to see a good match from AJ Styles. I just want to see the guys that I know can go that don't get a chance on Raw. I want to see them live in a situation where they can actually wrestle and have a good time. That's why I would go to the house shows. I want to see... the guys that you wouldn't expect, like if you're going and seeing Enzo and Big Cass when you didn't know they were going to be there, or, you know, one day, if we're lucky, seeing Alex Riley back in the main roster. If we're lucky,
I hope not.
If we're lucky, guys, we'll see Alex Riley back. But sometimes we don't get that lucky. It's a sad shame. But Nathan, I want to thank you so much. It is now midnight, so you effectively have called in 2 days in a row.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
I appreciate it, man.
Yep. Have a good night, Nathan. That was Nathan on the Skype line. I want to thank everyone who's called in tonight. I want to thank Joe for being our guest again here on VOW Live. Thank you to all that listened. Please do me a favor and hit the thumbs up button, like this video. If you are listening on demand later, subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed already. And you can follow me on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. VoicesOfWrestling.com is the website. You can catch my podcast, Shake Them Ropes, there. Visit the forum, sign up, chat wrestling with those fine voices that you heard on the show tonight, as well as many others. Thank you so much for joining VOW Live. We'll be back with Shake Them Ropes tomorrow in audio form at VoicesOfWrestling.com. So long, everybody.